When it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Bridgetta. It's morning. October 15th.
Yeah.
A Monday.
Hopefully, things will be changing in the air. That's what it says in the stars.
Mondays are new beginnings, you know.
It says that we moved into Virgo and, I don't know, something else. And basically that it's a new beginnings are today and things start over. And then old relationships that didn't, I don't know, they get like, they're supposed to be settled. Like any arguments you have with anyone or something you need to get settled.
Well, that's something for you to look forward to.
Yeah, well, we'll see if that really happens. I don't know about that.
Okay, so relationship-wise, you're not doing well. How about football? I see you guys won yesterday.
We won. That was good.
Just eked out a win, huh? By 2 points.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, against the Cowboys, it's never hard to win. I mean, it's not a big challenge.
Yeah, it depends. Really.
They played well, though. I mean,
yeah, they played really well.
If it came that close. Did you go to a sports bar or something to watch?
No, I wound up not doing that. I had a lot of... this is such an interesting weekend. So I went to Zara Thustra's event this weekend, and I went Friday, and then I went Saturday.
Right.
And
that's that healing...
Yeah, and I will say it's incredible, and a lot of things came up, but then, like, after Saturday, I just felt, like, empty.
Really?
Like, I know it's weird, because I know it's about getting rid of old things and old patterns and, you know, whatever that bothered you in the past, and it's like, I went through this whole transformation, but I just felt really empty.
Wow.
So I got all depressed again, like Saturday. So
yeah. Now isn't that empty in order to get full? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, you're
maybe
supposed
you
to
fill
like,
it with new things.
You're supposed to like go back yesterday and like fill it with love and you know new things and whatever. But I just was so down that I didn't feel like going back yesterday. So I went to this festival called No Fest with one of my girls, and No Fest is this like spiritual festival. It was pretty neat. I mean, it wasn't as big as I thought it was gonna be, and so that was weird. And it was in the ghetto, which was even weirder. Yeah. I'm like, where are we? Are we going to get shot? We get all spiritual and then we get shot. Like, it was just weird. But I will say that it was really cool being there because I, like, Cafe Gratitude, which is a really amazing, like, really good food, really good drinks and herbal tonics and whatnot. There are a couple locations around LA. They came and they spoke. And so that was cool. And this guy, this was weird. So this guy walks up to me. And he's like, oh, I can read you or I can work on body. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, work on body. So I've never been able to lean on my elbows fully. Mm-hmm. Long story of some psycho ex-boyfriend way back in the day. So, yeah.
Your elbows?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah, he was crazy and that's another story. Okay. So I had like a floating bone in one of my elbows.
Wow.
And he came up and just started working on my hand. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I forget what it's called, like A and or something, and like he started working on my muscles and it makes your muscles go back together, and I'm like, what are you talking about? So he's like sitting here massaging my arm and my elbow, and he's like, it feels like you feel that. I'm like, yeah, it's like a bunch of like goo, like it's disgusting, like it hurts like when he was doing it. And all of a sudden I felt like this knot that was like literally cartilage and bone go back to normal. And I felt like I had more muscle on my arm. And I'm like, this is fucking weird. I don't know what you're doing, but this is really weird. And he's like, he just kept talking. And he worked on it for about 20 minutes. And then I felt this pop. And then like, I don't know, but my muscles are now normal on my elbow. And it doesn't hurt anymore on my wrist. I'm like, this is very weird and very odd. But it's all connected, so it goes back into like your shoulder. And so like, he didn't really work on that much. It was just like my arms, which were, it's a big deal to me because I was never able to lean on them because I had such issues back then. What the craziest thing is when he's working on it, what happens? I thought of the memory of like how it happened in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like I thought of the whole scenario of like jerk and like, you know, the whole and like I let it go. And like it's like weird. As soon as he was like done, mm-hmm. like that memory, I'm like, I'm over it. I don't even care anymore.
Wow.
It was the weirdest thing.
Really? So it actually worked.
It worked.
You're feeling better.
Yeah, I feel so much
better.
Wow,
then it must work.
I was like, that's crazy. And yeah, and then he started doing other things. And then he worked on Jesse. Mm-hmm. And that was really interesting. And she was like, this was weird. So she carried like weight on her shoulder. So he was like working on her shoulder. Her back like turned like, I mean, it looked like blood red. It was just really weird.
Wow.
I knew what it was from. It was from like her family, like her dad mostly. Mm-hmm. This is the weirdest thing. So she releases whatever it is, like got fixed in her shoulder area. Mm-hmm. Her dad, who never calls her, called her like 10 minutes later. And I'm like, that's weird.
Really?
That's what like all the stress was from that. Anyway, so it was really weird. Like we were like, that's weird. Anyway, so then I went to this acupuncturist because my foot is worse now.
So this was all at the same place, huh?
Yeah.
Like a fest or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my foot.
Where
is,
was it, by the way?
In like South Central.
Oh, I see. So that's the bad area.
Yeah, how were we? It was horrible.
Go on.
So anyway, my foot is now worse. It's really swollen on my heel. I guess I walked on it too soon or something. Mm. So that sucks. I'm back on two crutches. So anyway, I was upset.
Did you try any healing on your foot, on your leg?
Well, I went to this lady and I was like, look, I can't pay these prices that you have here. These are like ridiculous, you know, and because they were really expensive. And I'm like, you know, but I really would like something done. If not, then no big deal, whatever. So the girl's like, well, I really feel like, this is so weird. Mm-hmm. She's like, there's like a bunch of healers that are there. She's like, I really feel for whatever reason, I'm going to connect you to this one girl, Alexis. She's going to be amazing. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I have to connect you to her. I'm like, okay, whatever. So she connects me to her.
Everybody's so funny.
And I
spiritual.
Look at her and I go, yeah. Oh my God, I know you. Out of all the healers that were there, I knew her.
Wow.
I had met her at the Boxy Fest. We were just sitting down eating dinner once. I didn't know she was... I forgot she had said she worked in the healing tent, but, like, I don't know. Jesse and I were like, that's weird. Out of all the healers, you're like, I feel it has to be her. And she comes in, and I will say I had the best... Like, she did acupuncture on me, and... oh my God. Like she touched this one part of my leg and it was like all the pain of my ankle came back.
Wow.
I was like, what the hell? But it released a lot and the swelling's gone down a lot. And, it was cool because like whatever you do when your right foot, your left hand acts as a mirror. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was really, I'm learning a lot about acupuncture, even though like you have to go to school for it and all that. But, so she did a lot in my left hand because my foot was so swollen. You couldn't touch certain points. Mm-hmm. So she did it in my left hand. That was cool. And she put it in my forehead and then my, like, ear. And so it was really, it hurts a lot at first, and then it just released a lot. So I felt like the swelling has gone down a lot, like, so much, which is incredible.
Wow.
And then, I know you don't believe in this, but the weirdest thing is she went and, like, released all this stuff. She's like, you're carrying a lot of, like, things around that no longer serve you, like guilt and upsetness and like less confident, like all the stuff that is true around. And she's like, do you want to release it? And so I did. And what's the craziest thing is I felt so high on life yesterday after leaving there.
Right.
We went to like go eat at this place and I looked at the shopping center and this is the weirdest thing. I'm like, I'm such on a high vibration. This is so weird. I'm like, this food looks like poison to me. I don't want it. And Jesse's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, no, I will starve before I put any of this in myself. I don't know what it is. I looked at it all like, like it's so weird. It was the weirdest thing. I was like so high. I'm like this. Yeah, no, it will make me sick. Mm-mm, no way.
Yeah.
And I feel like this whole new thing where I only want to put like good, like better things in me.
Good.
Which occasionally you have like junk or something, you know, like, I want candy.
Maybe it'll ease the,
I don't know.
You know, the way you deal with stress and things like that. You know?
I don't know. Well, then I got really sick to my stomach last night and like so pukey. It was really,
really?
Bad. Yeah.
Oh, disgusting.
I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, it was really bad.
Did you eat something?
No.
No.
I can't figure out what it is. I'm not sick. Like, I'm fine. It's just my stomach. I feel like so nauseous.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. And then, of course, I'm like, it makes you think of everything like around you. And it's like, I know things happen for a reason and whatever. This is that time. But it just sucks because I keep thinking of like my relationship that was, and it's really hard.
Yeah, well, it is hard. You know, I have to agree there. You know, but what are you gonna do? You know, I mean, I listen to past shows and stuff, and it just sounds like it doesn't make you happy, this relationship, you know? I mean, it's
it does. It's just the communication that was lacking.
Well, but you're down all the time because of it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it can't possibly be good. You want it to work.
I do, because I feel a connection so much. And mm-hmm. I know it's when we're good, we're so good. And that's the thing. It's like, I'm working on changing myself, and I have, and I've let go of so much, and like, I'm still working on it all, which is great.
Right.
But I feel like he needs to work on a lot too. And he just keeps running away from everything, thinking like, if I move here, if I go there, if I party or if I drink, and it's all an escape instead of just dealing with like the inside stuff. And and that hurts to see that, because if he would only just look at himself and look at the little things, then I know it would be amazing. And it just sucks because it hurts so bad. Like, I miss him so much.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
You've gotten attached, you know. Now it takes a while to separate yourself from it.
I don't want to. Like, I still feel like it's unfinished.
Right.
Like, there's unfinished business. Like, I totally feel that.
Right.
I don't know. Mm. Anyway, whatever.
Whatever.
It really hurts.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. At this point, you know, I think you're making it hard on yourself trying to... beat a dead horse, it seems, you know? I mean, that's what it seems like to me.
Well, the hardest part is that, like, when we talk,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, you know, it's good, and it's like, Jesus, like, just, like, I want to hang out. Like, I want to, like, go back, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, we don't talk, and then that, like, it drives me insane. It's either I need to, like, be talking to you,
mm-hmm.
or I just don't speak to me ever again for I don't know how long, because I can't,
you know,
I can't be the in-between.
Yeah. See, I think you can have just about anybody you want, and, you know, it's just that, you know, you stick yourself in the situation, and, you know, but I understand. I mean, that's what love is. You know, you try, you don't want to give up on it, and you try, and you try, and you try. But,
and I guess that's what everyone says, like, well, you can have anyone you want. But, okay, well, I'm sorry, it's really hard to find people in this town, you know, like, it's so hard.
Mm. Okay, well, in a few minutes we're going to have... Whoa, there it is. Okay, so we have an author on the line, and we'll tell you exactly what this is about. Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead.
It's William Mann calling in.
Yes, William, good morning. Thank you for calling. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling on Cape Cod this morning, but I'm going to be heading down to New York shortly after this.
Oh, nice.
Lucky you.
Yes.
I really wish I was over there.
It's we had a really nice fall weekend up here.
Oh, amazing, amazing. Yeah, we're getting the fall here too, but it's taking its time.
Yeah.
So, William, you wrote, you've been writing biographies, and you just came out with a new one called Hello Gorgeous, Becoming Barbara Streisand. And,
indeed I have, yes.
Yes. And unfortunately, we didn't get the copy of the book in time, but we did some research and stuff, so we'll be able to talk intelligently to you about it.
Okay.
As intelligently as the show possibly can be.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sorry that they didn't get you the book in time.
That's okay. It happens. So anyway, William, how long have you been writing biographies now?
Well, you know, it started, I guess, my very first nonfiction book was in 1997. It was a biography of William Haynes, the actor of the 1920s and 1930s. Mm-hmm. And then I did John Schlesinger. But I think the biographies that most people know about started with Katharine Hepburn, which was in 2006. And then I did Elizabeth Taylor after that. And now I'm doing Barbara Streisand.
Oh, amazing. And
now, did you, sorry, I was just curious,
no,
like, are you working with them on the bios? Like, do they contact you and they're like, I want a bio written about me, or do you just decide, like, this is what I'm going to write about?
Well, with Schlesinger, for example, I did work directly with him, and so it was an authorized biography, but not since. I mean, Katharine Hepburn had passed away by the time I did her work, and Barbara Streisand, of course, is notorious for not talking to biographers, not wanting to work with biographers. She actually has a great line where she says, I'm not going to like any book that's written about me, including the one I eventually write for myself. So she's, you know, I knew starting this that she did not speak to biographers, but I did speak to everybody around her. My book is focused just on her early years.
Got it.
And so I was able to talk to all of the people that she worked with back in New York in the very beginning.
Right.
That's cool.
So you tell me that like her entire life would take more than just a book. That's why you focus on a certain period in her life.
Yes, you know, because, you know, for me, what interests me about people are moments in their life. Mm-hmm. And for me, with Streisand, you know, it's been such a long career and such a diverse career that I really wanted to take the camera in as close as possible and focus in on these early years where, you know, she arrived in Manhattan from Brooklyn in 1959 as a 17-year-old kid without any money, without any connections, with just ambition, you know, ambition to spare. Mm. And 5 years later, she was the biggest star on Broadway, the best, the highest-selling recording female recording artist in the country. So it was that five-year burst that really intrigued me.
Right. Now, who discovered her? How did she become big?
Well, you know, it started, you know, she wanted to be an actress. And people don't always know that. She thought singing was, she said, singing in a nightclub is for floozies. She said, I'm not a floozy. I want to be a great actress. Right. And she had, you know, Broadway in mind. She wanted to play Shakespeare and Shaw and... her boyfriend at the time, Barry Denon, who I was able to interview for the book, heard her sing one day and said, you know, you need to make a career at this. You need to, you know, this could be your ticket to the top. And she kept saying, oh, but I don't have to do any work. I just open my mouth and I sing and it comes out. Mm-hmm. Whereas acting, she was always, you know, going down deep and trying to pull out all the emotions and really working at it, where singing came so easily, she didn't think it was anything special.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have connections, but eventually somebody discovered that she can actually sing and very talented. And so this was like a 5-year burst, you're saying, during which all of this happened.
Right. And what happened was she started singing in nightclubs, and she was noticed, and people said, she's terrific, we've got to have her back. And then she got a very savvy publicist, who I also got to speak with, who told me about how they got her onto television shows and how they developed this very eccentric persona that she showed on TV, and it was a very kooky kind of image. And so she was funny, and she was quirky, and she had this great voice, and so TV shows wanted to have her back. Ed Sullivan and Johnny Carson and Jack Parr, they all wanted her back. And eventually, you know, this was this kid that she was still only 18, 19 years old. She was becoming known all across the country, and Broadway came calling after that.
Wow. So then she started on Broadway, and what was her first performance on Broadway?
It was in a show called I Can Get It For You Wholesale, and Barbara played a very small part. She was only in a couple of scenes, and she played the secretary, the man-hungry secretary, and she stole the show because the show was not that great. It didn't get great reviews, but Barbara got fantastic reviews. Every review, it seemed, said, you know, she brought the house down. And so from there, you know, the show kind of closed after a few months, but Barbara was on her way. You know, everyone knew that seeing her, there was it was said in the papers at the time that, you know, this is the start of a very long career.
Right.
Wow.
So now and then Funny Girl came around. So you're saying she wasn't really, I mean, acting took an effort for her, but at the same time she did she was pretty, you know, I mean, she was pretty successful with some of her movies. And you discussed Funny Girl. Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, sure. Funny Girl was in the works for a couple of years before it opened. And Barbara's agents and publicists knew about it and said, you know, you are the one to play Fanny Bryce. Because Fanny Bryce, of course, was another eccentric, unconventional looking Jewish comedian singer. And they said, you are the one to play Fanny Bryce. But David Merrick, who was the producer, didn't like the idea. Jerry Robbins, who was the director, didn't like the idea. She was too young, she was too unusual, and so they had to be convinced. And what Barbara did over the course of those 2 years was, in developing this kooky persona I mentioned, she was in effect playing Fanny Bryce every time she showed up on the Ed Sullivan Show or you know, on PM East with Mike Wallace. She was doing Fanny Bryce. In fact, her publicist told me a great story that they came up with the idea of presenting Barbara with the annual Fanny Bryce Award. Now, that never existed before. They did it simply for Barbara and to get the producer's attention. And, of course, at the end, end of the day, she was given the part and made it her own.
Right. Now, did you cover her childhood at all? Do you cover, like, what kind of a family did she come from?
Yeah, I go into a lot of her childhood, and in fact, it's my contention that we can understand what drives a celebrity like Barbara Streisand by understanding where they came from. And within Barbara's case, you know, her father died when she was barely 1 year old, and her mother was always very distant and never very encouraging. And you know, Barbara was a misfit, a loner at school. She was discouraged from trying to be anything more than a secretary, which is what her mother said, you know, just get a job as a secretary and be happy for the benefits. Barbara didn't see it that way. And she didn't, you know, they were poor, you know, always struggling, had to live with the grandparents for a while. Her mom remarried to a guy who was very cruel to Barbara. So it was always a struggle. Childhood was a real struggle. And, you know, Barbara, to her credit, didn't internalize that. She didn't believe it. She said, no, they're all wrong. I'm going to be huge. I'm going to be a huge success. And they'd say, well, you don't have the looks. You're not pretty enough. And she said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be a success just the way I am. And she did. She proved them all wrong.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's just an amazing way to think. And obviously it paid off for her. You know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely it did. Yeah. It's the courage of one's convictions.
Yeah. Now, some of the men in her life, who was a major man, major relationship that she had? I would imagine she'd been married before.
Well, her first boyfriend I mentioned was Barry Denon, and he takes the credit really for for getting her into singing, for helping shape her song stylization. He was very much influential in creating her look and her image and her stage presence. That relationship didn't end well. Barry turned out to be bisexual. Barbara found out and wasn't going to work, so she was very brokenhearted about that. But she very soon after that met Elliot Gould, who was in every way the antithesis of Barry. He was absolutely devoted to Barbara, fell head over heels in love with her, and that was incredibly affirming for Barbara, who, you know, never had the guys coming after her, but suddenly here's Elliot, who's, you know, just head over heels for her. And they met during I Can Get It For You Wholesale. He was the star, she was the supporting player, but in real life those roles soon switched, and they did, by the end of my book, they are married, but of course later on they have a son and they divorced, I think, in 1970.
Well, interesting. Now, did you write anything controversial in the book? Anything that Barbara may not like?
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, when you're as big a star as Barbara Streisand, and she's so, you know, legendarily controlling, anytime you write something that's not authorized, that's not part of the brand, they're not going to like it. And, I mean, I haven't had any complaints, but I think that, you know, so many years were spent in cultivating the legend that all she had to do was show up and the doors were opened and you know, her talent spoke for itself and everybody just flocked to her unbidden. You know, what my book reveals is there was an awful lot of behind the scenes maneuvering, and you know, to get this very unusual girl to the public view. I mean, there was, like I mentioned, the Fanny Bryce Award and you know, all of that, kind of the creation of the kooky persona. It was all very calculated, and I would imagine that the strict line out of the Barbara Streisand camp would be, oh no, we never did any of that. But in fact, I think it just makes her more fascinating and more compelling as a story.
Right. No, absolutely. Well, we're speaking to William Mann. The book is Hello Gorgeous, Becoming Barbara Streisand. And this book just came out, right? October 9th, I see.
Yes, just last week. It's brand new. It's just climbing the charts on Amazon, and people are hopefully buying it in bookstores. So
amazing.
Go ahead. Has she, have you sent the book to her publicist?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So they're aware of the book. And during the course of writing the book, I did a piece, and they actually put it on their website. So I thought, well, okay, they're not hostile to me. And certainly right. No doors were closed to me. I never talked to anyone who said, oh, Barbara said I can't speak to you. But since the book has been published, I've heard nothing, which I think is a good sign. Because, yeah. But as I said, I think because I'm talking about behind-the-scenes maneuvering, and they might not become comfortable with that. The Daily News excerpted the piece about Barbara discovering Barry, her first boyfriend, with a man, which was perhaps the most sensational part of the book, and mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how happy she was about that, but it's all told respectfully right. and compassionately, so I hope she'll like that.
Amazing. Well, William, thank you so much for the time, and everybody go out and get the book at Amazon, and do you have a website of your own you'd like people to check out, or should we?
Sure, it's WilliamJMann.com.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome.
And you guys will get more background on the book. William, thanks again. Congratulations on the new baby.
Yeah.
And
absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
All right. Bye
now. That's pretty
Bye-bye.
Cool. I like hearing about like the inside stories of how they got started and whatnot. I mean, I think that's the brilliant part of it, is to have a good publicist and go from there and have someone who really believes in you.
That's true.
I think
that's
awesome.
That's true, yeah. And you know what? I just realized something that we have talked to William before. When he mentioned he did an Elizabeth Taylor biography, mm-hmm. I remember that we have one here, and I'm looking now online, and I see this is the book. It came out in 2010, and we actually covered that. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I've spoken to him before. I just didn't realize that, but... But this is cool, I mean,
yeah.
to take on, like, biographies and stuff, you have a certain amount of responsibility.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I
don't think I could do that.
To be accurate and honest and so forth,
I think it would be hard. Like, I'd rather write fiction or have someone write my story for me.
I know, because otherwise everybody's, like, criticizing you. This is not accurate and this is accurate and,
exactly.
and all that stuff, yeah.
Exactly.
So this past weekend, I guess the Space Shuttle Endeavour came into town and was rolling through our streets and stuff.
I heard about that.
Yeah, have you heard how many trees they've cut? They had to cut and stuff just to get this the shuttle through the streets. It didn't have to be that way.
I think that's really fucked up.
It really is, And I posted about this when I first found out that the mayor actually thought it was a great idea. And, so power poles have to be raised or whatever. And, and trees have to be chopped down just for, like, a couple days of, like...
Of, like, a spaceship coming through?
Yeah,
that's so stupid.
Yeah, like a political orgy for this mayor,
Yeah.
And, but you know what? Once it was done, it was an amazing thing. I wanted to go, but... I didn't want to deal with the crowds and everything, but...
When was it? Friday?
Friday, Saturday, and... I think yesterday it actually arrived at the California Science Center where it's going to be.
Okay.
And but my wife went, and she said it was amazing. She brought some pictures back.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to see this thing, from up close. So
yeah.
I kind of regretted that I didn't go, but at the same time, we'll see.
That would have been there, like.
Yeah, but
I'd
we'll see it at
online.
The museum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, we'll see it in person at the museum.
Exactly.
So we're not missing something there. But I just thought it was. It was pretty mindless, I think, to cut down all the trees and shit.
I think that's really wrong.
They're talking about 500 trees or something,
And where is the California Science Museum?
Downtown. Downtown. Wow. Like, do you know where the
Natural
History Museum and all that stuff? It's right there, by USC.
My roommate works at the History Museum.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's right there. It's next door.
He is a paleontologist.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been there in so long since the kids were little. It's funny because, when your kids are young, you go do a lot of things, you see a lot of things, and it's exciting,
Yeah.
Then they grow up and you're like, meh, I'll pass on this,
Aww.
So, yeah, I kind of miss it and stuff. So,
yeah.
That they're grown and everything.
Yeah. You just got to make family trips somewhere else then.
Yeah, I guess, It used to be, I remember every Saturday, Sunday, I'd have to find things for us to do. And sometimes it was hard, because you just start of doing the same things over and over. But you can't just sit with the kids at home all day. They go crazy.
Uh-huh.
So we used to go to a lot of kids' museums and to the beach, ride bikes and stuff. Now I don't do that anymore.
You should do something.
So, yeah. So kids actually can help make you active.
Yeah. One day. I kind of can't wait for the day where I'll be settled down with Prince Charming, whoever the hell that is. And
What's the rush? Are you feeling that you're ready now? Biologically, emotionally?
I feel like I am. Like, I'm tired of these games. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of, you know, the dating world. It's just depressing and just, I just don't like it. Like, I just want to have fun. Like,
but have to understand something. Some people do not play games. You know, you got to find people that don't. I don't know what to tell you.
You would think.
Yeah. But you seem to want something that you perhaps can't have. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. So this daredevil did jump from space. Remember we were talking about him last week?
Yeah, and he died.
No.
Didn't he die? I heard on the news some guy jumped and died.
No.
Oh.
No, this guy was 128,000 feet. And no, he actually jumped, man. And he broke the speed of sound like we said he would. He went 890...
I thought he died in the air. Someone was talking about
jumping, and
maybe that's something else.
I think we were talking about if he does or something.
No, I saw on the news.
But really?
Yeah.
No, he went like almost 840 miles per hour, which is Mach 1.24. You know, that's past the speed of sound.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
That's pretty crazy.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's free fall, of course, you know. But, you know, amazingly, he took cameras with him and everything, and you look down at it, and you go, my God, how is he going to, like, land right where he wants to land? You know, I mean, how does that happen? I would imagine when you jump from a plane, you probably don't end up where you want to be.
No, you can.
Yeah?
You landed where you... Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, but how do you do it from space, for crying out loud, man? You know? I mean, he took off in New Mexico. I would think he might end up in Arizona or something. I don't know. Or maybe in the middle of the ocean.
No. You guide yourself when you come back in on your chute.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's so high. How can you possibly guide yourself, you know? I don't know. And from up so high, how can you even tell what's what, you know?
I don't know.
Wow.
Oh, this is so depressing. Okay.
What's depressing?
Nothing. I just went in my computer to, like, check the email of, like, tweets that come in or whatever, mm-hmm. and it landed on a photo from way back. Anyway. Like, I can't escape it. Wherever I look, that's where it is.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Anyway, this week is Fashion Week in L.A., FYI. So there's a lot of
what does that
going
mean?
On. Fashion Week, like New York Fashion Week is now here in L.A. Fashion Week.
Oh, really? They have it here, too?
Uh-huh.
So, are you going to go?
I'm thinking about it. I mean, I'm invited to a lot of different events that are all this week. Looking at a couple of things now. So, yeah, I mean, probably.
Yeah. Sounds interesting. I wouldn't mind going.
It's a lot of good parties. Got a lot of swag, makeup.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Hmm.
But it's just hard because, like, I'm on crutches and it hurts to keep my foot down for so long. So
you put it up, huh?
Yeah, we'll see.
People will be understanding. Relax. It's fine. People see someone crippled and they're like...
I get more attention and I get hit on more this way ever.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding.
Yeah,
like, I got a few
it's an
numbers.
Excuse for people to walk up to you.
I have like so many numbers I got and I'm like, really? That's weird.
Oh, wow.
But then again, it makes you think because the ones that actually take notice of you when you're injured, then it makes you think of, like that's the kind of person, they're like good people, so they would stick around. You know, if in time of need versus people that you care about who you think would stick around.
Yeah, well, either that or they just figure it's an easy way to open up a conversation, you know.
I look at it more deeply, I guess.
Okay.
Well, I mean, since the person I was with left
But you don't know. I mean, how can people that don't know you really care? You know what I'm saying?
No, it's just like the fact that. And it's an in to get in. I see what you're saying. But the fact that they have, like, that compassion to be like, hey, blah, 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 what happened? And then, like, talk to me about it. Like, I just don't think, I don't know. I think when I'm gimpy, it's not as, like, it's not as attractive. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know, people that come up to you.
Damsel in
time.
Distress. That's what the eyes
maybe,
like.
Maybe, and there
know?
Are some hotties that have come up. That's for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know. I mean, that's the difference between guys and girls, you know? I mean, a guy, if he was approached so many times, he'd take advantage of each one of them, you know?
Yeah, I'm not in that mind frame,
but women
really.
Are more selective.
I'm, like, very picky. But not only that, it's just, like, I'm not in the mind frame right now. Like, I don't know.
You're not open.
No.
To these things.
I'm kind of still bummed out about everything, but... I'm trying not to go back to, like, my old ways, which would be, you know, whenever there's a breakup, then get crazy and go out as much as you can and just forget about it by being with other guys.
Right.
And, like, that's my way of recouping.
Right.
And I haven't done that this time, but because I feel like I want to change, like, a lot of patterns and whatnot. But I'm at the point where I'm like, maybe I just should go to Vegas, get over it. Have fun, but then it's hard. I don't know, because we still talk. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't be friends with someone. Like, it takes like a year for me to get over it. Like, I just don't talk to me, leave me alone.
Yeah, you're mad.
And then once that happens, then I can move on.
Yeah.
And just be crazy and get past it and whatever and date as many as I possibly can just to get my mind off of it.
Yeah.
But if you're talking to somebody still, like, you still have that connection, I can't. Like, it still, like, draws you in. It makes you think. It's like,
right.
And then anytime you meet someone that you're like, well, maybe I'll go on a date with this person, you know, then you talk to the, you know, your ex and it's like, you feel guilty. Like, you can't. Like, that's me. I can't. Like, I'm not in the mind frame to date around with anyone right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the girl's in love. What can I say?
Mm.
You know.
But then I'm like, why? Because, like, I look at it like, well, how could someone leave me at, like, the worst? Like, that's, like, horrible.
Mm.
Like, you can't deal with it, so let's just break up because I don't want to deal with,
but you
know.
Had problems before that, too. You know? I mean, before you broke your leg.
It was literally communication issues on his part. So,
okay,
I mean,
well,
whatever.
That creates problems
for both
of you. You
know, it's
true.
You know what? He has a lot of growing up to do. That's the thing. A lot of growing up.
Mm.
As mature as he can be in many ways in business, he's not in his normal life.
Mm. Okay. So. And you going to try and change that?
No.
Good.
Can't.
Yeah. You can't change it.
No.
Don't
One
try.
One day, I'll wake up and be like,
yeah.
Oh, well.
So you're hoping it'll change or something or what?
I guess.
Yeah.
Or work through it kind of thing. I don't know. Who knows? I don't even know what I want right now.
Yeah, you got to focus on football more. That'll get your mind off of it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. The Giants, I mean, kicked the 49ers' ass yesterday.
Yeah.
26-3.
Wow.
Raiders lost again as always.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
That's normal.
To the... Falcons, but the Falcons have an undefeated, like a perfect record so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing well. And who else? That was important yesterday. Oh, your Steelers lost.
Yeah,
so
thank God.
Should be happy about that. I guess that's always the second score you check, huh? After you check the Ravens.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Oh, man, you really don't like them, do you?
No. I'm so glad they lost. That made me feel so good. Yeah.
So there's an article here about how the presidential election is testing Facebook friendships. Have you noticed, like, a lot of people becoming political lately on Facebook and stuff?
Not really.
No?
A little bit.
Yeah. Maybe because your friends are not that into politics. I don't know. But... I know that. So they're saying that a survey found that 18% of social network users have blocked or defriended over political posts.
And you're one of them.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I did that to a few people.
Yep.
And let me tell you, it's so liberating now not to have to see all that shit. You know, I mean, I've had enough of all these opinions and shit about, you know. But, I mean, sometimes you'll start just like an innocent post. And it becomes like the most like controversial fucking thing you've ever seen, you know. People start like, you know, like putting each other down and calling each other names and, and all that stuff, you know, and get your facts straight and read your history and all this bullshit. It's like everybody's like becoming an expert all of a sudden. So, yeah, there's going to be another debate. Is it this week? Yeah, I think tomorrow or something. I don't know when. And that should be pretty interesting. And
Wait, what debate? Okay. When?
The presidential debate.
Another one?
Yeah. They're going to have three altogether. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so... So on Facebook, you know, I mean, people, well, you know, I mean, it's like it gets dirty sometimes, you know, and I've never been really into politics that much, so I never really noticed. And besides, you know, in 2008, Facebook was a different place in the previous elections than it is now.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, people are saying things and, you know, I don't know, you know, I guess it doesn't make sense on the one hand, you know, to fight these things because people have their opinions and you can't really fight over politics. I mean, people get really upset about it. So, you know, and people don't understand that because, you know, I mean, these social networks are a platform to voice what you feel and it's liberating and people can comment to what you say. But at the same time, you can alienate a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I decided I'm not posting politically anymore. You know, the most I'll do is maybe... like or maybe comment, but that's about it, you know.
I hear you with that.
Yeah, you hear me with that?
I do. Okay. I don't know.
I lost you here, yes, I mean, you're doing something. I know. I noticed I'm talking to myself, and I need some help here.
I know. I'm sorry. I, like, looked at something, and I'm like, this is weird. And then
off.
I got all into Yeah, I did. I'm really not with it today. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, at least you were healed.
Yeah.
You know?
To a point.
To a point, yeah.
I'm healed in many ways, but not in others.
Yeah.
I just want to walk again. It's so depressing.
Yeah. So how much longer is it going
to
be like this?
I don't know. I have to go back to the doctor.
They don't know? They can't tell
you? No, because it's swollen, and now I'm, like, all worried about that, so...
Yeah. And you probably have to do some, like... physical therapy, right?
Yeah.
Once you're done.
Yeah.
To get used to walking on that foot again.
I mean, I was like leaning on it and everything is fine. I feel like with ankle-wise is getting better and then it's so swollen again.
Mm.
And the heel is so swollen. And then when she touched part of my leg, which is when the doctor was like, my main concern is if it were to slightly break in this one area, you would feel it up here. Well, I feel it up there now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so I'm just, I don't know what's going on and it hurts like hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry to hear that. What can I tell you? You know, it's it sucks to break parts in your body. You know, luckily, knock on wood, I've never broken any bone in my body. But you know, so even as a kid, you know, I mean, I would play, I would get pretty rough and stuff. But you know, I think one time this guy like this kid when I was a kid threw a stone. And hit me in the head or something, you know, and I had to go to the hospital for that. But, yeah, but otherwise, you know, and then there's you who broke just about every fucking bone in her body.
Yeah.
And pulled every ligament and broke every tendon and I don't know what the hell.
I don't know. I guess there are lessons I've learned. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Well, this slowed you down a little bit, but...
It did. It slowed me down. It got me to, like, pay attention to me and look at, you know, all of that, but, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Maybe you needed to slow down a little bit so you can re-examine your life or something, you know?
I guess.
I mean, dune buggies, fucking Harleys, you know? I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah. I have some friends in town, so that's pretty cool. They got here last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So you can keep busy with him for a while.
Yeah. He's like he works at the Harley shop back in Utah, and so met him a couple years ago at Sundance. So him and his friend came out on their bikes. So that's cool.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So they're here. That'll keep my attention away from other things for now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just go out and get crazy.
So a couple more things here. I guess not that I really care, but the Motor Trend selected the SUV of the year.
What is it?
And it's a Mercedes, the Mercedes GL.
Really?
Yeah, which is that ugly looking Mercedes. Yeah. I don't know. I can't believe that they actually decided on that. And
that's weird.
Yeah. And they're saying that, I mean, this car is pretty expensive. Like, it starts at
$63,000. Wow.
And all the way up to $108,000. Yeah. The model that they tested was $108,000. It's like, duh. Of course it's going to be like the SUV of the year. Because it's, you know, they put so much into it that, you know, for that price, yeah, you expect to get the best fucking car.
Yeah.
You know? How do people pay this kind of fucking money? I mean, I don't understand. You know, this is like, well, I guess I can't understand that. You know, I mean, people that, you know, I mean, because when you think about it, it's probably like, what? If you buy a car for $100,000, it's probably like, what, $2,000 in payments every month? Something like that, you know?
I don't know.
For some people, it's not a big deal.
I don't know. My car payment was like $400 a month.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so you multiply that by four or something, and that's what you pay.
Yeah.
About, you know. So, yeah, I don't understand people that buy this stuff, but, you know, when you have the money, what the hell? You know.
I want a new car really bad.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What are you driving now?
A Honda Element.
Element.
I mean, I like my car, but I think she's cursed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
I've had so many accidents in it.
How do you curse a car?
Well, I was attacked in it. I was like, I don't know, I've been followed in it. I've accidents.
Wow.
Just all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Like, in the windshield, and the mirrors, and the window. Yeah, it's like.
Maybe you need to live like in a small town, you know, when there's not so many demands on you.
Maybe. I'm actually thinking of it. Thinking of moving.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw you posted something, huh? That you miss home.
I just want to go back home really bad. My mom won't let me.
Yeah.
Can't fly with a...
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, the thing is this. Look, you're just going through some hard time, but you'll probably want to come back to L.A. I mean, there was a reason why you moved here in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
But I'm not really doing anything, like, the reason why. Like.
Well, but you're injured right now, you know? I mean, yeah. What the hell, you know? But, yeah, I don't know how could you sit in a plane like this with your leg like this for 5-6 hours?
Pop a pill.
Yeah.
I just want to get out of here so bad. Like, I can't explain you.
Really?
Yeah. I really
Well, don't. Take some time off then. Go back. But can't. Your mom doesn't
she
want you
me.
To, huh?
She won't let me. She's like, this will only have to go down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever, yeah. Finally, I guess this school counselor was fired because she was a lingerie model, and pictures were discovered. Now, you know, lingerie model, what's wrong with that? Is that like a bad thing? I mean, that's not like
it's stupid.
Sexual.
But see, like that's how my parents got when they found out that I was in lingerie bowl and like the lingerie modeling, they flipped out. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
To judge someone for that, but I mean, it's a school, so who the hell knows? People are crazy.
That's true, yeah.
Where
it is a
this?
School, right?
Where is it?
Probably in New York, maybe. I don't know, but it's Gloria Allred is behind this, as you can imagine. She's always there, so and she's from LA, but no, they're saying it's in New York State. So
yeah. Interesting. I mean, it would have to only be in, like, an area where they'd be big in modeling. But that's the thing. Like, you would think, like, okay, well, you know, it's New York, it's L.A. This is normal. Your teacher was on TV.
Right.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who found out? I bet you some, like, creepy dad who thought she was hot and looked her up.
Yeah. I guess she's a PhD in clinical psychology, and she says she disclosed her lingerie modeling when she was hired, and so she's now suing the Department of Education and for sex discrimination and all that stuff, you know.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Wow. Look, if she's got Gloria Allred behind her, she'll win, man.
Gloria Allred is a bomb. Yeah. I will say that. I wish I had her.
I know men don't like her, man, but she is a bomb.
Knows
her stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Brigetta. Well. It's another day. It is beautiful outside, so it's inspiring to do great things. And thanks, everybody, for listening to us. Tomorrow we have a guest in the studio, Brigitta?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
What is tomorrow?
Cool. Well, whoever it is, you'll find out about it tomorrow. And see you tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitta is an L.A. Talk Radio production where we say what we want.